Once you realize those are not worms, you waste the noodles anyway. There are hungry people everywhere. But no problem. Go ahead and drink the blood with no worries, no qualms. What are you doing, Michael?
I like that.
And of course, if they're playing along at home, they can probably guess the out of context movie reference. What is it, Dave? Dave's muted. I'll ask him again. Oh. What is it, Dave?
It's The Lost Boys.
Yeah. Break open a cold box of wine or pour something cold on ice because it's the Binge Watchers Podcast.
On all, that was a better intro. Crack one open. I mean, it's Monday. Why not?
Yeah. The week's already hard enough on a Monday.
Yeah. Why not?
It's been a hard week.
Yeah. Speaking of, well, actually, I could have started with the home video headline that will get people hard, but I won't. I'll start where my intended place was supposed to start before I stopped this broadcast. As you can tell, maybe my video and audio is out of sync. I don't care. It's an audio podcast. Videos are just extra bonuses. Okay, so let's see. The first episode of Chucky TV was released online for everybody. You don't even have to have Sci-Fi or USA Network to check it out. I thought perhaps they did it for marketing purposes because it seems like they're finally going after Generation Z, right? Mm-hmm. Like the new Andy. I mean, his name's not Andy, but the new kid doesn't even know what to do. You know, doesn't know how to handle a murdering doll. Just goes along with it. Kind of a Gen Z move. No, I don't know. We just lost like a bunch of listeners. No, just kidding.
No, come back.
Yeah. Actually, okay. we were spiking pretty hot the other day with the 18 to 24s. Usually we hit really? 24 to 34. Whoa. But bam, they're paying attention.
I like it.
Let's see. So following up with that question, I was thinking like how long is a generation like relevant as far as like capturing an audience demographic? Like folks, if you want to, you know, really pull back the curtain and see the man behind it. Like, you know, the Wizard of Oz thing is like, don't look at the man behind the curtain who's running everything. His little tiny little man, he's projecting a giant head of fire. He's not really a flaming head on fire. He's a little dude pulling the strings and mechanisms to keep things running. Television studios and all this, it's all marketing. They pay millions of dollars to try to figure out what they think you want to watch. And then like, well, we got this old thing that made us money back then, but the Gen Xers are grown up. The millennials are pretty much grown up. Who's going to watch Chucky? Like, what kind of... And I'm like, I'm thinking like...
The kids?
The Gen Z kids, they like true crime. They love the true crime podcasts and the true crime shows. But do they like murder on TV? I don't know if they do. But they're like, here's Chucky.
I think they do. There's always that horror element. Is it nostalgic for them? That's the question. I don't know.
Oh, it's not going
to
hit the
nostalgia. Well, they just had a new movie that came. Well, I mean, it isn't connected to this one. I mean, Chucky never went away. I mean, so.
That's what I'm saying. I'm not like, if they stopped at Seed of Chucky, I would have been really interested in checking out the series. Mm. But we've had two or three movies, right, in the past couple of years.
Like, well, yeah, direct to video stuff, like, but they're really good, actually. Away,
right?
Well, they had a remake with Mark Hamill doing the voice. That's a brand new one.
Oh, and even that one.
That was the most recent movie. Like, they broke form. They got rid of Brad Dourif as the original voice. Well, right?
But that's why this TV show is around, because this is the answer to it. Like, the original writer and producers were kind of pissed off that they went ahead with this other remake that had nothing to do with them. So they created this show basically in spite.
Yeah, the show's like a direct sequel to part two or something like that.
Yeah.
Because they Supposedly they're going to bring back their. Two? I don't know. Three might be included. I mean, they're supposed to bring back the original.
Oh, anime. Man. All these horror movies and their
timelines.
I'm
getting so.
Just stick to a damn timeline.
Which one are we at now? Yeah.
We don't have this problem with Jason. He just kills.
The erection joke I was trying to make at the top of the hour is about a Marilyn Monroe biopic that's coming out called Blonde. Mm. It's actually been rated NC-17. Ana de Armas, who you might remember from Blade Runner 2049 as the virtual girlfriend. Yes. She's also in a ton of other stuff, but that's the one that comes to mind.
And James Bond recently.
Netflix is like full steam ahead on this Marilyn Monroe movie. But here's the thing. Rumor has it they're saying the movie's really good, and it's good enough to get beyond its rating.
Okay, so you just said it. You just gave me what I you just answered it right there. It's Netflix. The rating is meaningless. They needed to put it in theaters, but yeah. Everybody's going to get to bypass that. So the minute you say Netflix, it doesn't. The rating means nothing because they can put out anything they want rated, without a ratings board.
Yeah, that's true.
So it's just marketing. Well, it's NC-17.
But see, Netflix is hungry for an Oscar, and they really haven't gotten much in that.
Is it an Oscar-worthy movie?
They've had I think best actors or supporting actors, but not a big one yet.
And then, I mean, the headlines are fresh for us, but obviously you guys are listening to them about a week later or whatever when this thing drops. So I don't know how relevant it's going to be then. But they announced that Mel Gibson was going to star in the John Wick prequel series called The Continental as, the lead. And I see a lot of, film critics bashing it. And these are, again, talking about generational arguments. A lot of people haven't forgiven him for, his drunken arrest in the 90s or whatever it was. Yeah. And it's
I thought we were I thought the Hollywood was kind of sort of past that because they gave him another shot with Hacksaw Ridge.
Well, that's the argument. They're saying
he's done a ton of movies.
Well, but they're saying that people haven't forgiven him, but Hollywood has. And they're talking about how Hollywood doesn't have a very good memory. And we talked about this before. Hollywood doesn't actually have a conscience. It just does whatever will make them money. So if they're saying we can make a ton of money by crucifying this one actor, we'll do it. And if we can make a ton of money by putting him in a John Wick prequel, we'll do that instead. You know what I mean?
Still be a number one star again. That's Hollywood. Yeah. It doesn't matter. Yeah.
Yeah, it really doesn't matter. And then we found out that they announced the cast for the Munsters, and you guys were all about that today. So I guess we'll talk about that. All I can say is if you see Jeff Daniel Phillips without his beard and mustache, he has the Herman Munster jaw.
He does.
So, he has a classic look. But you got to. I was when I first saw him with the beard, I was I don't know about this guy. Then I looked up more pictures of him, and he had a square thing happen. I'm like, okay, yeah, he looks like Herman Munster. Everybody, we said this a couple weeks ago. Everybody knew that Rob Zombie was going to cast his wife as Lily Munster.
That was already kind of known.
And whatever. I'm not going to start any podcast hating controversy about my opinions on Dan Roebuck that I shared privately with the gentleman on this show, but I'm not even going to talk Dan Roebuck from the A-list
actor or something. What? That's all. I just thought they would have cast more A-list actors.
He doesn't know any A-listers. He burned all his bridges with his first couple of movies.
I guess so. Yeah.
He's a low budget director. Despite the name, his cachet or whatever cachet his name brings, he doesn't make big budget movies. So
we talked about this 8 weeks ago. And we were trying to guess who he would cast.
Who's going
to
cast?
And this guy was not on the list for Herman Munster, right? Not at all for any of us.
I think he was actually, but I didn't know who he was because I read into it a little myself.
Okay.
Clown movie. He made a clown movie called 31 with a bunch of clowns.
One of his I haven't seen.
Yeah.
He's
all of us named different famous actors. I remember. And I just remember it was not this. Guys.
The only thing that bothers me so far is it's a goofy comedy with the Universal monsters in it, but the photo so far with their faces, I don't know if it's just that's the way they did it, but I'm like, dude, if this is just going to be a dour affair, I don't know how fun this movie's going to be. Nobody has go look at any photo of the Munsters TV show and what they show, Munsters are always smiling.
Here's the saving grace. Funny. Now a bunch of people are going to go watch the old Munsters show and the TV made for TV movies.
And then
they're going to rewatch all the classic stuff. In fact, I'm going to get my hands on. I was looking on Amazon. They had a copy of the Christmas special.
Oh,
the in color Christmas special.
Oh, by the way, I have that DVD in my closet right now.
Yeah. Do you really?
That's a dollar store. No joke. Yeah.
All right. And the last headline for tonight is, we didn't talk about Dan Roebuck, but I mentioned this guy's. I got some private beef with that guy, and I don't want to turn it into this podcast story, so I'm going to leave it off the show. But I'm just not going to address the fact that he's going to be the grandpa. Okay. So moving on. According to The Guardian and a couple other publications, Ghostbusters Afterlife is a slimy, stinking corpse of a sequel, and Vulture magazine says it's a reanimated corpse. So, right out of the gate, pretty harsh statements about the new Ghostbusters. How do you guys feel about that?
Well, we had a discussion on this. I'll just wait to see it. I mean, there's also a lot of positive out there, and you made some good points on your own. We don't need to go down that road, but I just wait to see it. I mean, you're gonna see it, so I mean. whether it's in the theater or at home. So make up your own mind.
It is a trailer that doesn't show a lot, so it is very hard to tell at this point. It's one of those, which I actually like trailers that do this, where it's like, let's build the mystery as opposed to showing a lot.
Wait, and so hold on. I'm sorry, I don't mean to cut you off there. Is that all they're reviewing is the trailer right now? They haven't even reviewed the movie itself?
No, they've reviewed the movie. Nick is I've seen it. Nick is saying he's
blowing up the trailer.
Okay. Nick is giving his personal experience of watching the trailer.
Yeah. As this point, I don't have any. It just seems like a mystery, so I can't say. I mean, I hope it's good. I mean, it can't be any worse than the female version, right? I'm not trying to be mean, but yeah.
That's the only thing. I mean, I'm not. In
there's nothing wrong with that movie except for the misuse of the original Ghostbusters. They were all in it, but they were recast as different characters.
So, so that means they can't even take place in the universe, really. Or
no, they're not. IGN wrote a comic book where all the Ghostbusters are in different dimensions, and then there's like a cross-dimensional issue where they all have to get together and work together. So
these timelines and dimensions, are you guys getting confused? Like, we're doing this with every series we're talking about now? Am I the only one who's just like, can we just start one and just go and just keep going straight?
The only thing I will say, and I kind of thought this from the beginning, that kind of gives me worry is, first of all, I'm not the hugest Ghostbusters fan, so take this what you will. But his son is directing it, Jason Reitman, who he's a really good director, but not known for really funny comedy. He's more of a drama director. So I don't know if it's going to be in his wheelhouse. Well, you know, just because he's a good director, it may not be his material.
Like, can you name some of his other movies that you're talking about?
Thank You for Smoking, Juno, Up in the Air, Labor Day, which was horrible. That one with Adam Sandler, that was horrible. Men and Children.
Good enough, but trying to keep things straight, Nick, can you handle comparing classics to remakes? That's only two. We don't. It's not multiversal. It's only two. All right,
I can do that because they're pretty much the same movie almost. Yeah.
So tonight's horror movie is a double feature comparison and review of Night of the Living Dead 1968 and Night of the Living Dead 1990. And I said this to Dave the other day. If you want to teach young people about racism, you could actually suggest watching the 1968 movie.
Yes.
Both films, you agree?
Yes, definitely. Definitely.
I was just like, agree.
Yeah. So both films have a pretty tight structure, and they follow the same story for the most part. For reasons unknown, the recently deceased are rising from the grave as flesh-hungry zombies. Now, survivors hide in a farmhouse, arguing over how to deal with the situation as the dead swarm the farm. Both films are iconic, and Dave's got some facts and trivia. Hit us with it, Dave.
All right, we're just going for the first one so far, right?
Yeah, this is the 1968 Night of the Living Dead.
All right, so I actually got quite a bit here, so I will try to be as quick as possible, but give you all the info.
Just keep it light and entertaining. Just don't put us to sleep. We're fine.
All right, I'll try not to. So the actual original title that George Romero wanted for this was The Night of Anubis, which is an Egyptian god of the dead. Turns out nobody knew what the hell Anubis was, so they changed it to Night of the Flesh Eaters. Now, however, there was already another movie called Night of the Flesh Eaters, so they had to change it once again. Now, the original copyright for the movie was on all the titles that said Night of the Flesh Eaters, and they forgot to put it back on when it was changed to Night of the Living Dead. So when people caught on to this, it became public domain because there was no copyright on it. So that's why you could find hundreds of different versions on VHS and DVD in the 80s and 90s because of this. They lost a lot of money because of that, but in some weird way, they probably gave it a lot of longevity because everybody got to see it for cheap and all the time.
Probably helped his career, actually. I mean, in the long term, it might have helped him, I think.
It did, but they also lost a lot of money they could have made off of profits. John was saying, if you...
distribution rights whatsoever. No syndication rights on television.
So, going back to something John was saying about what you want to know about civil rights, watch this movie. Well, the interesting thing is the main actor, Ben, who's played by a black man, Dwayne Jones, everybody thought that that was done as a statement because of the civil rights era, when in fact, he was just the best actor that auditioned for the role. The role was not written with any race in particular in mind.
I didn't know that. Wow.
Yeah, no. So that people kind of put that on it because of the times, but it was just because he was a good actor. Actually, Dwayne Jones kind of wanted them to put in a little more substance because he was a little concerned that his aggression in the movie would not be read correctly by certain audiences. You know, like he slaps a white woman in the movie, for example. So he was kind of a little nervous for himself.
Well, doing I got to interrupt you for 1 second. Barbara has to get her shit together in that original Dave.
Yes, correct. Yes, yeah. However, because he's a black man, it read a little differently during those times.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that was his concern. So of course, in the beginning of the movie, they crash the car into a tree. Well, this was actually done out of necessity because the very beginning of the movie was the last thing shot. And in between the beginning of shooting and the ending, they got into a car wreck where that dent is. So when it came to that part, they just crashed into a tree and called it good. Actually works in the movie. It's not the first movie to feature zombies, but it is one of the first to present them as flesh eaters. despite this, director George Romero is considered to be the godfather of zombie movies and went on to direct 5 more of the Dead movies and also had zombies in other movies such as Crazies, Creepshow, and Two Evil Eyes. The production company that did it was the Leighton Image, and they were actually George Romero's group out of Pittsburgh. They made commercials and actually short films for Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, of all things, including Mr. Rogers Gets a Tonsillectomy. It has been said that Mr. Rogers...
Is it like a famous Emmy award-winning...
I can't wait to watch. Is that next week on Binge Watchers, guys?
That'd be nice, right? But this is fun. Here's what I thought was funny is Mr. Rogers continued to support Romero and even told him once that he thought Dawn of the Dead was a lot of fun. So I'm just imagining Mr. Rogers watching Dawn of the Dead.
Wow.
Right. One other quick thing. So the finished film was shopped around to different studios to try to sell it off. And one of them that was interested was Columbia Pictures. They passed on it because they wanted to change the ending to it. However, believe it or not, Columbia Pictures did distribute the 1990 remake. So that's a lot of facts for the first one.
He said that all in one breath. Now he's
I know, that was good. Dave, good stuff, man.
Oh, wow. All right. Favorite bits from 68, Nikki Lates. You got some favorite bits from the original? I would have to say
it's the bits that you guys mentioned. It's the surprise ending, and I didn't know.
What a cop-out. He's like, my favorite bits are things you've already said.
But the one thing Dave mentioned, I did not know that was not meant to be like a black man. I did not know that. And I think that made the movie stand out so much more in it. I really love, like, it's such a crucial moment.
Well, that dude's a great actor, but unfortunately, I don't think he got to do a lot of stuff in that decade.
I've never seen him after that.
He did some other acting, but I think the other big thing he's done was a movie called Ganja and Hess, which is a black vampire movie in the 70s. That's a bit of a cult hit, but I have not seen it.
Huh. I've not either. Yeah.
Davey, your favorite bits from 68?
You know, that very beginning, the very first zombie you see, that always sticks in my mind. Just like he has a very caricature face. I don't know exactly how to say it, but like that very first zombie always gets me, the one that crashes through the window getting at Barbara. But of course, the ending too. I mean, we've kind of talked about, you know, this being a bit of a civil rights movie unintentionally as it was. But like, even though they didn't write the character to be black, that ending becomes more impactful because of who Dwayne Jones is and the times it was in.
You know, a redneck spoiler sheriff alert. Shows up and he says, here's the spoiler alert for the evening, folks. Sheriff, you know, shows up. They see him through the window. Unclear if they think he's a zombie or just some a dude they don't like sitting there in the window. But he goes, take him out. They take him out and he goes, there's another one for the fire. Right. So that's 68. I could imagine if you saw that movie in theaters, what it would do to you at the time that you're watching it.
Pretty impactful.
What about your favorite bit?
My favorite bit of the original? I like the fact that Barbara dies in the first one. So, and she gets taken out in a very interesting way. Like, at the time, it was probably like a very classic maneuver. It's in every zombie movie now where the zombies basically have a buffet of a person. This was probably the first time they had a buffet of a person. Because her dead brother shows up and pulls her out the window, and then all the zombies, like, you know, join in, and they're, like, eating her to pieces. It's only because she's also a good actor, and by the end of the movie, you're just like, you know, I don't even want to watch this Ben protect you anymore. Like, just go. Get eaten. Just get eaten already. Like, you know, like, just come on. Like, you know,
well, that's the major differences between the original and the remake is the character of Barbara. Like, they're completely polar opposite in those movies.
So much
perfect time to switch to 1990. Our favorite film. So this is the remake made by Tom Savini, director. Mm-hmm. Again, same plot. Zombies show up. We got to hide in a farmhouse. But Tony Todd is rocking the shit as Ben in this one.
Yes.
Let me tell you something. Like
Tony Todd. Yes.
Like, and he's scary as hell as the original Candyman, but you see him as Ben in Night of the Living Dead 1990, and you're like, this guy's got some acting chops, man.
Yeah. Now,
one of his best gigs.
Now, here's a funny thing, and it's completely coincidental, but the very, almost one of the first images you see of Ben and Tony Todd in this movie, he's carrying a crowbar, which looks like a hook. Like, that's 2 years before Candyman.
Oh, I didn't even pick that up. That's hilarious. Yeah. Yeah.
All right, so I'll get into the facts for 1990.
Let's do it.
Yeah, but you made it awkward by asking. You could have just naturally rolled into it.
That's what I do on the show. I ask for permission on things.
Get into those facts, please.
All right. So actually, this remake was produced by the original team to try to recoup all the money lost from the copyright debacle of the first movie. Savini was actually supposed to be the makeup effects artist on the original movie, but wouldn't you know, he got drafted to the Vietnam War, so he couldn't work on the first one. Actually, during Vietnam, Savini became a combat photographer and was exposed to a lot of real-life horror and trauma. And he said he took that experience with him to become an effective makeup artist because he said that if his creations didn't give him the same feeling as to what he saw back then, it didn't pass the test for being scary to him. So that's, you know. Mm. So the original cut of this movie was supposed to get an X rating because of all the graphic violence. So they had to do a lot of cutting to get it to an R rating. There's going to be a lot more exploding heads, a lot more gore. Savini actually said in a weird way, it kind of made the movie more effective because you had to fill in the blanks because they couldn't put the most graphic stuff into the movie. In fact, there's a lot of things that Savini wanted to shoot, but couldn't because of a short shooting schedule. He actually had storyboarded and dummies created to have a shot where Barbara was going to shoot a zombie and it would follow the bullet, go through all the flesh and blood of the zombie, but they didn't have time. And the original script did play like a carbon copy of the original, but Savini asked Romero to make some differences to make it stand out, such as Barbara becoming more of a female hero like Ripley in Alien, and the ending with Ben was altered a bit for this version as well.
Well, spoiler alert part two.
Yeah.
And this one, Tony Todd's Ben becomes a zombie.
Yeah.
And then gets thrown on the pile. But in this one, Barbara gets to shoot the racist guy that was hiding in the basement in the original. So,
touché.
I don't know if he's a racist, but he just doesn't like Ben. I mean, they're basically two alpha males fighting over who's going to control the farmhouse in the middle of the night while they're getting attacked by zombies.
That kind of as a racist. I don't know. I've always thought.
Yeah. He's just an all around prick.
Yeah, he's a dick.
Yeah, he just doesn't like anybody, including his own wife and daughter. So.
Yeah, he hates them all.
Okay, so we won't call you racist. You're just a douchebag. That's
you're a dick.
Straight up grade A douchebag. You know, I'm just going to go right into favorite bits. I like this one a lot, and then you guys can catch up after this. I like 90 over the other one, and my only point of contention for this movie is it's way too bright. Like, they had, like, every light on imaginable inside the house, and also there's, like, a workshop next to the farm. All the fucking workshop lights are on. They didn't think, like, let's see, what's attracting zombies to the house? They're not just smelling the fact that we're alive. They can see us from a mile away because all the fucking lights are on. Also, we're hammering every 5 seconds and yelling at each other. So let's make much noise as possible while we're trying to hide. So other than the stupid things that they're doing, I do really like this movie. It wouldn't be over for Tony Todd. Like, I've looked to see this level of performance in some of his other movies. Todd, unfortunately, besides Candyman, I haven't seen a lot of this level. I do like him as the element of death in Final Destination. At least they cut him out of the movies at some point, though. But, like, you know, he was good in that. And my favorite bit from 1990 is probably when Tony Todd first gets to the house and he's just, like, you know, fucking taking charge and going through the whole house and taking out the zombies. And then, like, I'm probably going to steal somebody's favorite bit. They fuck up the gas can keys, and then the two people get roasted. I think this happens in the original, but it's much more graphic in the remake. But
yeah, it's pretty brutal.
There you go. Way. Hopefully, I didn't hog everybody's favorite bits. Mickey Leitz, what do you got for us?
My favorite bit's actually the opening. This was the first one I saw. I saw this before the original. Like, I rented this on VHS 1990 or 1991, whatever it came out. And I saw it, and it was cool seeing Bill Moseley, who I just saw.
What's VHS?
I know. And I saw Bill Moseley, who I just saw in Silent Night, Deadly Night Part 3. And I was like, that's the guy from that, the killer from that. Totally dating myself. But anyways, what I liked about this was Tom Savini's effects. You like, it's night and day compared to the original. The zombies are scary as hell. And that's my favorite bit, is just every zombie has a unique look. And I think this movie really influenced what happened with like The Walking Dead and everything that came later.
Yeah, no,
I think it improved. It was like Dawn of the Dead, Day of the Dead, and then this, and then everything that came later just kind of changed. I think this was way better than any of the George Romero zombie movies in terms of effects.
Well, I would disagree with Dawn of the Dead and Day of the Dead, but to the original, absolutely.
I love this one. Yeah.
Well, no, I do like it. In fact, they to jump off of that, the skinny zombie, or like the shirtless zombie, they said like that was a first for these types of movies, because they always had to have a shirt on for squibs. Like, so they had to concoct a way to shoot a zombie.
Yeah.
Actually, my favorite bit is there's a, I don't know how quiet of a moment it is, but there's a moment where Barbara is out in the field and has to shoot this. I think it was a girl or an older woman, maybe holding a doll.
It's supposed to be a child zombie, but clearly it's a stunt man.
Stunt woman. Well, in any case, it's supposed to be a child carrying a doll, and you could see her struggling with her humanity. Like, she knows it's not a thing, but she's seeing it as a child for just a moment. Shoots it in the head and like cries to herself, like, "Oh God!" It's a small moment in this movie, but like, it goes to show, like, they, like, you could tell the actors put something into it, like, oh, this is not just a zombie movie. Like, it's a throwaway moment, but it, like, it really grounds the movie in a weird way.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that was my favorite bit.
So overall ratings, Nick, can you choose one over the other if you only could pick one?
God. You know, I'm going to go for the original, because I think it influenced everything that came years later. It's still influenced us to this day. So I'm going to go for the original. Binge now for sure. Check this out if you have not seen it, or if you want to watch it again. I think it's great.
Davey?
I'm actually going to say binge now, the 1990 version. Although close behind is the 68, the original. I don't know. I have fonder memories of the 90s one for some reason. Even though I think I saw the first one, the original first. But no, I just really like the 90s one. It's a little leaner, a little better. I don't know.
I love
it. I just enjoy it more. I don't know. If it's
I love them both. It's hard.
I mean, yeah. I get fuzzy, heartfelt, horrific feelings from the 1990 version. And like, it's a good Saturday night. Make some popcorn, crack open a Coca-Cola or whatever, and watch, zombies attack people in a farmhouse in 1990. It's good.
Cast.
I respect the original a lot, and I know, like, it does. 1990 doesn't exist without the original, and obviously Nick has already said it's historic and it influences all the other things. But I'm happy with the remake, so that's fine for me. Fan service. This is a funny story. So everybody knows that Twitter and Facebook and Instagram are all filled with these porn bots. They're like fake accounts that want to talk to dudes. So then you go buy their OnlyCam or whatever, you know, in the middle of go buy their Pornhub accounts or whatever. They're join their OnlyFans.
Okay.
So somebody on Twitter was like liking our shit and then like sending messages. And then I started asking questions that were like, you can't ask them yes or no's because bots are programmed for yes or no. But if you ask them a direct question. So as it turns out, there's a dominatrix, Dave, that actually likes our show. She turned out to be a real person. So there you go. I guess our show has double wound sex appeal or whatever. So, and Dave was saying earlier, he likes to ask for permission. So he could be one of our clients. There you go. All
right. Please tell me what movie to watch next.
Tell me what movie to watch. That's funny.
Secretary. All right.
Yeah. Not to make it any more weird or awkward in the middle of the night, make people uncomfortable for the rest of the evening. But, did you guys watch anything? Oh, If you have a movie recommendation for David, you can write to him at host@bwpodcast.com.
Yes, right.
And we'll give him those recommendations.
I might start sending him some stuff.
Yeah. after that, I was going to say we'll go to staff picks. What, like, if anybody watched anything else this week that they want the audience to know about, I think we're all going to talk about Halloween Kills.
Yeah, I think that's
probably going to happen. So this will be, I don't know if it will be. If we'll, I can't guarantee that there won't be any spoilers at this point.
I say
in time.
Just say.
I mean, I guess spoilers. This is the end towards the end of the show. So
yeah, this is going to be spoilers.
Stop if you haven't seen it.
Yeah,
but listen, I gave a spoiler. I did a pretty good job of giving a spoiler-free statement. So I'm just going to go. I'm going to go find my initial review.
There's not going to be something that happens. I would say spoiler.
So I really tried to think very clearly and formulate my thoughts, like so. People don't understand. So I literally said, you guys want me to start or do you want to go first?
No.
This is literally all I have to say. And then I don't even need to contribute like box office. I don't have to I got no philosophy on it. I said this. Halloween Kills is dumb. Just repeating all the stuff the sequels did. How about Myers is more than a man? He keeps coming home, stay out of his house, blah, 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 blah. And it's less inventive mayhem than the last time they went out. That's it. That's all I got.
I've said we've had a discussion in the group. I mean, there are parts of this movie I liked.
Me too.
But
you gotta stop saying that, Dave, because the audience is not part of the group you're referring to. They're like,
no,
what?
That's what you're telling them now. Okay, so we've had my feeling is there are parts of this movie I liked, but parts don't make the whole. Like there are some great moments and kills wrapped up in a turd sandwich. It is especially the ending, I get it, you're trying to make a statement about mob mentality, but it doesn't need to be in this movie. I don't know.
No, it has no place in a Michael Myers movie, that's for sure.
No. I mean, not only that, but like the whole it just felt like there's a lot of stretches. Like who has a talent show in these small towns on Halloween night? I don't know. And to like have to reference every character, like Tommy, I get, but like the kid that like tripped over himself when he came out of the bushes, like did they really need to be referred to in this movie?
Yeah, I was tripping out. I was trying to figure out who that guy was at first. I had to Google him later. Yeah.
Right. Well, I mean,
here's a spoiler alert. They added characters to the original movie and spent like 25 minutes showing us things that didn't happen in the original, but according to this movie did happen. Okay.
Yeah, there's that too. I don't know. I mean, again, there's a particular gunshot kill that I really liked in this movie. There's a lot of good knife play through the head. It's in a terrible movie. Terrible is maybe too far, but it's not. It's better than Resurrection, but I don't know.
That's not safe. Man, it's like when you go to a fast food place at like 3 a.m. and you go like, this is going to be great. Then you eat it and you go, why the fuck did I eat that? I feel so sick.
But all Halloween movies are cheeseburgers to begin with. I mean, this is one of the greasier ones, I guess.
I personally feel like this is the most brutal of them. I thought nothing could beat Halloween 2, Rob Zombie's Halloween 2. This one, I felt top that with effects.
Yeah, but senseless violence and gore, like the gore has to make sense. Like
in the other Halloween movies,
like there was like a poetry to like there was a reason why he was doing something. Like
I totally agree with you. Yeah.
I and the granddaughter, I just wanted to laugh, like, oh god, like has nobody learned their damn lesson in these movies? Like there's a meme going around online right now where somebody caught one of the mob people going after him, just came with the iron.
What's kind of ridiculous is like, do you remember them advertising the Halloween Begins or whatever the one was last year that started this new series?
They're like, we're getting back
to the roots. It's not going to be mythological. They were like downplaying all the sequels that said he had like supernatural powers. By the end of this movie, you're like, he's clearly not a man. He's not a dude. He's not a regular dude. Walks out of a fucking three-story. He just walks out of the fire. No big deal. And then, like, gets stabbed, gets shot. No fucking – he's okay.
He got shot like
he's a Terminator
times.
Again.
Like, yeah.
I mean, he's a T-1000.
He got beat. And by the way, is anyone else pissed off at the trailers where it's like Jamie Lee Curtis is supposed to, like, have this moment with him? And
she's in bed the whole time.
The whole – time.
Oh no, she took a vacation. She's in two scenes.
I remember when they were filming this. I remember tracking when she started the movie and when she ended it. It was like a 5-day shoot for her, and I remember being like, yeah, "Is she either gonna die or have nothing to do in this movie?" And she had nothing to do in this movie. It's pretty bad.
I guess it's leading up to a big fight in the next one. I don't know.
She's talking to the cop that they added to the 1970s movie in a hospital. That's about it.
By the way, I love Jim Cummings, and I was like, God damn it, did they not use him right?
Oh, the other cop. They featured this other actor, this writer-director that we like, who made this werewolf. Maybe it's a werewolf movie. I don't know. He made this movie that we all like. We talked about it a few months ago, and he just pops up. He's doing a lot more acting lately. I mean, he's got to make that bread, I guess, because he's coming back from a hard year like everybody else.
I don't think it's totally a terrible movie. I just think it's a disappointing movie. Like I know a lot of people are really hating it. I don't think it's hateable. Like, it's far from the worst thing I've seen. And if you shut off your mind and just watch it as a hack and slash movie, it's actually okay. But at the end of the day, it's a Halloween movie, so you do hold it to a bit of a standard.
Well, I think it's great because the inferior sequels that came before are now elevated because they're better than this one.
Yeah, like Halloween 4 looks like a masterpiece at this point.
Oh, I was talking about Validation the other day in our private conversation that Dave was mentioning when we talked about this before the show. Like, I felt so validated, and I went online, and like the things that I thought, well, maybe it's just my ego. Maybe I'm the only one who hates this movie. No, generally, in general, horror fans don't like it. People that haven't seen the Halloween movies are okay with it. And then a lot of people said my favorite second movie, besides the original ranks number one to all these people. Two. They said Halloween 4 is it. Oh, I'm like, that makes a lot of sense to me.
I know it's not my favorite, but I can agree with that.
Yeah.
Well, it makes him more human than the other movies. And then like that's the first time you hear about the family story, that it's not just Laurie Strode. It introduces the niece played by Danielle Harris, who is a scream queen now. She's in a bunch of other things. And
yeah.
This is like a breakout role, you know, as the niece who's like, but she sucks you in. Like, you think you're a kid when you're watching that movie, which is more terrifying. Like, you got this guy coming after you, and you're like 9 years old, and that's the main kid, your main person in the movie. You know, it's like,
and when I saw that, I saw it at the age of 8, and this girl was like 9. So
that's what I mean. Like, the first time I saw it, I was a kid. So if you are a kid and you watch it, you're like, holy shit. Yeah.
Now, see, here's the funny thing is, you guys, every good memory or like the thing that jumps to your mind with that movie was a child's performance. Like, it does have one of the best kid performances in the movie.
She was great in it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, so that's funny. Not like, the best
she brings
part.
It
I mean,
to
like,
a Halloween movie.
But see, they do give the conceit that he survived the fire from part two. I'll give you that. But it actually makes him more human. And I think a human killer is 1,000 times more terrifying than like a monster or something with supernatural powers.
Touché.
Like, just a regular dude going to screw you up, and he's not going to stop. But he's just hell bent for you, David. For you, David.
For you, David. Yeah. And by the way, one thing I love about Halloween 4 is the first 20 minutes, he doesn't have that Halloween Michael Myers mask. And I love his look in that first 20 minutes. I'm just saying, like, he's all bandaged up. I'm like, yes. I wish he would have gone like that, to be honest. Like, switch it up.
We're getting kind of long in the tooth. The whole episode is not about Halloween kills. So I think it's safe to move on.
Can I ask you guys, like,
what's up?
Do you guys, at this point, after watching Halloween Kills, spoiler alert, I mean, he got stabbed, he got shot, he got beat. How is he human at this point?
He's not human. He took a turn.
I'm just saying, like,
that's what my complaint was. That's what I was complaining about. They made him supernatural again.
So where do they go? Do they have to make him supernatural in like Halloween Ends? Like,
yeah.
Like, how do they retcon what they did in this? I don't know. I'm just saying.
I think they're suggesting that his ghost is tied to the house, and the reason he doesn't want people there is that's his source of power. Is they got to get rid of the house.
I don't like that. Michael Myers. Okay. Yeah.
Maybe they'll go to space.
You could be right. I don't know.
Go to space.
I hope they go to space. Yes, please.
Why not? Every other franchise does it.
Let's do it. Yeah.
Well, the next sequel is there's going to be a time jump, so it's not an immediate sequel. So
it's supposed to be modern. Like, it's what the other one was 2018. Now it's supposed to be 2022. So yeah, it'll be interesting.
That's a real time jump. That's just like modern.
Yeah, I mean,
see, talking about Halloween Kills is killing our episode. Let's just move on.
Johnny Spoiler, what's going on next week?
Oh, well, I was hoping you would just tell everybody because I did.
I thought it was for me to you to tell. Sorry.
No, it's all right.
Halloween Kills killed my, you know, it killed me.
Enthusiasm.
Well, guys, we're doing the Swedish horror movie, Let the Right One In, in 2008's follow-up, the American remake from, or no, no, Let the Right One In, yeah, from 2008, and then the follow-up from 2010. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let me in.
Directed.
So we'll see you next week. Stay tuned for all. Another banger episode.
Sad vampires.
Sad vampires.
Sad vampires.
Dave forgot to mention that it includes borderline pedophilia, necrophilia, seppuku, but done by the way of acid. Not just sad vampires. If I heard, if I saw a poster and it said just sad vampires,
well,
okay.
Tune in next week and find out.
Tune in next week.
Oh,
sorry, sad vampires and more.
Yeah,
there you go. Yeah, you gotta leave them on the hook, David. Okay, leave them on the hook.